The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. Let me remind you that right after a brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. And lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue as we face the issues each and every day. Let me remind you that we do so according to the Scripture, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus speaking to his disciples says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Now I want to give a little brief thumbnail sketch of just those words. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of people that will say, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's a partial statement. Jesus says, if you continue, constantly stay in, dwell in, study my word, then you're my disciples indeed. A true disciple of Christ is evidenced by his living in the word, studying the word, meditating on the word. And it's through the word that we'll know the truth. And it's through knowing the truth that will set us free. Jesus himself in John 14:6 says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible says, "Thy Word is truth." And in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endureth forever." So I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, each and every day to stick to the truth, stand on the truth. Contrary to the fact that the world we're living in today, there's a mindset somehow, some way, that truth does not matter. In fact, we're finding a battle against truth. A battle against truth. In fact, as we look at the issue today, we're talking about a battle for truth. And if you want to call a subtitle to the issue, the battle of good and evil, a battle of good against evil, or evil against good. And that's where we are in society today. It was the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And ladies and gentlemen, I'm still less than 100 years old. And I don't believe I've seen the hatred for truth, the hatred for good, the animus toward God, and the animus toward the Word of God in such a powerful, visible fashion as I'm witnessing today, as we're all seeing today. We're witnessing the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party that's the forerunners, if you please, of what I would call demonic delusion that hates the truth. We're witnessing the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's assassination, his murder because of standing for truth. And the demons are coming out with the pitchforks in their hands on every corner in America today because of the outgrowth of the facts that's behind Charlie Kirk's life. Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Kirk was not a perfect person, but I believe he was saved, and his goal was to please the Lord, in my most humble opinion. His motto verse from the scripture comes from Isaiah 6, chapter 6, verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." Charlie Kirk said that was the motivation in his life, that he was saying to the Lord, "Here am I, send me." We're going to talk about his assassination. We're going to talk about the aftermath of his assassination. What caused the murder of Charlie Kirk? Was it simply because, as some have put it, a deranged person pulled the trigger? Was it because there was a motivation based on what had been said in the marketplace for the past 10 years about Donald Trump and the Trump followers? Was it because there was a mindset born into the hearts and lives of multitudes that the vermin that's called Christians and patriots must be removed from society? Those are some of the things we are talking about as we face the issues. We invite you after the monologue to join the dialogue and discussion. But ladies and gentlemen, it's a matter of truth, standing for truth. I'm looking at an article, frightening in one way. It's the latest survey, and says where America is pushed to the point, tipping point. And it goes on to talk about 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth, that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the life of Charlie Kirk was designed and dedicated to the Lord to reach young men and young women, to bring them truth. And we had witnessed across America, and yes, around the globe, young people, young men and women, that had followed Charlie Kirk's advice, direction. Get married, produce a family, that the family, the kids would love the Lord, honor him, and that the first and foremost thing would be to honor God and to serve God and to witness for him, go to church and study the Bible and stand for America. Now, I might have juxtaposed some of those issues and the lack of harmony that Kirk would have presented them. But that was the mindset. But ladies and gentlemen, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Let me just read you a tidbit of a large article by former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just insert a little young blood parenthetical footnote. If we want to understand what truth is, we've got to look at the totality of the truth book. There used to be a song that was sung in Vacation Bible School and Children's Worship Service. It was called the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. And it goes back to the source book of truth. It's not a matter of it can contain some truth. It is truth from cover to cover. And I go back to the fact that in an article, a massive article, says Western society will be destroyed without the commitment to truth. And we've watched a divergence from truth for years, but we've come to the crescendo today in society as I see it. You can have a different opinion, and that's fine. That's what our telephone number is for, 904-831-0917. For you to call in, join the dialogue discussion, ask your questions, or defend your position if that's against what we're saying today. Western society will be destroyed without the commitment to truth. And it goes on to talk about in the article that the major bastions of a lack of truth would be the press, the educational system, higher education, and ladies and gentlemen, those in some political realms. This article says it's fashionable in academia for decades now that truth is relative, or that it's a matter of individual perception, a moral, a cultural mores, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Charlie Kirk gave his life defending the truth, standing for truth, learning, loving, living the truth. And I'm not saying this broadcast is not designed to deify Charlie Kirk. That's not the point. It's using him as the latest example of a martyr for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a result of his stand for political truth, for Christian truth, for biblical values, Charlie Kirk's life was snuffed out at the age of 31. I believe it's time for us to get back to truth and recognize that we're battling evil today. It's God against Satan. It's good against evil. It is the Savior against Satan in the battle that we see raging today. And listen, now I'm not trying to over-exaggerate, but I believe we're witnessing a major, major, major exaggeration in reality of the battle against truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowners like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Listen, there's a benchmark, an identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, I'm going to take one more moment for an elongated monologue, then our telephone lines will be open in just one moment for you to dial in, call in. If you've already called in, hang in there. We'll be right with you in just a moment. The letter of the book of Isaiah and the statement made in the 8th verse, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, that's Isaiah speaking, applicable for us today, here am I, send me. And I said earlier, just a moment ago, that this was the verse that motivated Charlie Kirk. He said to God, here am I, send me. Charlie Kirk was obedient to God's word, God's voice speaking. Just as the results of Charlie Kirk using that, here am I, send me. He was known throughout the world, had traveled the globe, and reaching young men and young women that they will take a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ, take a stand for morals and ethics and values, standing for biblical values. And Satan, anytime we say, let's rise up and build, as in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18, Nehemiah challenged the people. They said, let us rise up and build. Time that statement was made, you see the balance of the book of Nehemiah, 13 chapters. You'll find the balance of the book of Nehemiah that Satan and Satan's emissaries stood up to confront, to tear down, to destroy, and to try to dissuade, discourage, and develop devastation to prevent the walls around Jerusalem from being rebuilt. We need to realize and remember the Lord Jesus says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 20, we're in John's Gospel, the 15th chapter. Verse 20 then says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. We're witnessing the reality of the Christian life. We're witnessing the end result. And that, listen, some people say, well, you know, if you get assassinated for standing for truth, I'm just not going to stand for truth. We need more Christians that will be willing to come out of the closet, come out from under the bed. We need more pastors that will come out of the closet, come out from under the bed, and stand for truth, grow a spine, grow a backbone, and stand for the truth, preach the truth, teach the truth, live the truth, love the truth, and not be afraid of what the enemies might say. Ladies and gentlemen, Isaiah, the 5th chapter, and verse 20 and 21, verse 20 in particular. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's what we see happening today. We see the media now and the hair on fire, socialist, Marxist, communist, Democratic Party. They're all upset because at the Charlie Kirk Memorial, we witnessed for the first time in my lifetime the president and just about all of his cabinet standing on the platform and praising God, thanking the Lord Jesus Christ, and basically giving a testimony of biblical salvation. I was thankful to see that. But yet, now some have the ire up, and they're saying that, you know, right now the president and his entire cabinet is trying to make America be some kind of religious nation. I'm looking at an article that says, why was the wonderful turning point under investigation by deranged Jack Smith and the corrupt and incompetent Biden administration? They tried to force Charlie and many other people and movements out of business. They weaponized the Justice Department against Sleepy Joe Biden's political opponents, including me. They allowed the daughter of a judge, this is written by Donald Trump, they allowed the daughter of a judge in one of the corrupt trials against me to become the biggest fundraiser for Biden and Kamala Harris, making many millions of dollars for herself and her family, but with the father, the judge, not only refusing to recuse himself, but putting a gag order on me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The point is, many were not aware of the fact that Jack Smith, through the Department of Justice, they were investigating Turning Point USA. They were investigating Charlie Kirk and what he was doing, and all he was doing, preaching the gospel, reaching out with biblical values, and asking young men and young women to stand for America, if you please, to believe in our founding documents, and to wave the flag, if you will, and to stand for the truth of what our America stands for. Ladies and gentlemen, evil hearts accused Charlie Kirk of preaching hate. Why did they say he was preaching hate? One more point, and we'll open our telephone lines. One more point before we listen to what your thoughts are. They accused Charlie Kirk of preaching hate. Why did they do so? Because Charlie Kirk said God created only two genders, male and female. And he got the sodomites, the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, all torn up and all upset as a result of that. Charlie Kirk also said that women cannot become a man. A man cannot become a woman. A woman cannot become a man. Charlie Kirk pointed out that our rights are from God and not from government, which counters the Democratic agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the truth of what has taken place. And that truth is that we've witnessed a global tectonic change in our nation and around the globe, through the hearts and the lives of mega millions of young people. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question to comment, please.
How are you, Dr. Youngblood?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I've watched that entire memorial on Sunday. Truth against evil has always created and brought out the worst in humanity. You can give examples biblically and throughout all of history. The voice in the wilderness, John was beheaded for telling Herod that he shouldn't have his brother's wife as his own.
Yeah.
Yep. Henry II quoted in 1170 there, "Who will rid me of this tempestuous priest?" Four knights then went on to assassinate Thomas Becket in the church there, and he was the Archbishop of Canterbury. All through history, anybody who's been a Christian that's told the truth against those that are in leadership have ended with their lives being taken. And if people think this is old ancient history there, 1945 in April, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed by Hitler because he kept a journal with a series of other Christian ministers in Nazi Germany of the crimes committed against the church and against the citizenry of Germany. And it's something for the ages there, and it's put down quite clearly in the Bible that truth will set you free, But the dual edge or the other side of that sword seems to be those that don't want to hear the truth, that work themselves up into murderous rages because they feel justified. They've been deceived, greatly deceived, and they're working for, they're not working for God. They're working for the devil, Satan.
Absolutely.
And they're doing his bidding.
Jim, I'm glad you touched on that, because when you look at Scripture, you find that, biblically speaking, the first Christian martyr, I believe, was Stephen. And what had Stephen done? He was preaching the truth. It pricked the hearts of the hearers, and they got angry. They tossed him out of the city and gathered around him and started throwing stones at him until he died, because he was martyred for telling the truth, standing on the truth. You can find the different persecutions that took place under Herod Agrippa. The persecutions took place under Emperor Nero. The persecutions took place under Domitian, that is. You look at the Scripture, and you look at church history, Christian history, and you find, as you just said, that is the rationale from the enemy of God, the enemy of the Christian, is to simply, you don't want to hear them, and so you want to put them to death. And it is my prayer today that as we analyze some of the things that's taking place, that it will cause Christians to grow a spine, to stand up, speak up, not be afraid, and not sit in silence, but stand up and speak up. And as Charlie Kirk took from the Scripture in Isaiah 6, "Here am I, send me." Jim, that's my challenge today for every listener, to make that decision to say, "Lord, here am I, send me." If we could have thousands and thousands to do that across this our city and across the nation, we'd find a vast difference in America. So, Jim, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you,
thank you,
as we recognize what is happening. Have a wonderful day. Ladies and gentlemen, I was delighted to see what took place in the ceremony, memorial ceremony. I watched the entire 5 hours of it, and I was delighted with each and everyone, including President Trump and Charlie Kirk's wife, Erica. We heard from Robert Kennedy. We heard from Marco Rubio and a number of others, ladies and gentlemen, that took the stand and, if you please, preached the gospel. Who is Jesus? One of the ones that I think I was most pleased with in hearing, that articulated so well what Charlie Kirk believed and said it so well in relationship to what we should believe and do, and that was Marco Rubio, Secretary of State. And to close the top of the hour portion of this broadcast, I want us to listen to about 7 minutes of Marco Rubio's statements at the memorial for Charlie Kirk, where he literally preached the gospel. Here is our Secretary of State, Marco Rubio.
About maybe 10 or 12 years ago, a person I knew very well, had been very helpful to me in my campaigns when I was in the Senate, came to me and said she had met this very impressive young man, and he was going to start this group to go on college campuses and try to convince young Americans that ours is the greatest country in the history of the world and that Marxism was bad. And I remember thinking back then, I'm going to admit to you guys, I was a little skeptical. I said, college campuses, you're going to do that? Why don't you start somewhere easier, like, for example, communist Cuba, you know? But my skepticism was proven wrong. In place after place over the last 12, 14, 16 years, we've seen this renaissance. Understand where we were at that time in our history. Understand where we are still today in many places, where young Americans are actively told that everything that they were taught, that all the foundations that made our society and our civilization so grand, they were all wrong, they were all evil, that marriage is oppressive, that children are a burden, that America is a source of evil, not of good in the world. And here was this voice that inspired a movement in which young Americans were told that is not true. The highest calling we are called to is to be in a successful marriage and to raise productive children. And a movement that taught them that ours was not a great country, but the greatest, most exceptional nation that has ever existed in the history of all of mankind. And that it's worth fighting for, it's worth defending, it's worth preserving, and it's worth passing on to the next generation. This was the mission and the work of Charlie Kirk. And a couple things that stand out about him: he led this movement, but he did so with incredible knowledge. It's unbelievable how much he knew. He came to me very recently. He said some quote. I said, who said that? He said, Marcus Aurelius. I said, what district does he represent? I kind of knew who it was, but he said back, no, it's a Roman, you know, philosopher king or emperor. His incredible knowledge. Let me tell you that one of the last messages I had with him was just a few days before his passing, where he wrote me from overseas. I'm in South Korea. I have many concerns I want to share with you when I get back. He was constantly expanding his horizons, but he just didn't have knowledge. He had wisdom, an uncanny amount of wisdom for a man as young as he was. Wisdom that sometimes it takes a lifetime to accumulate. He had it in just 31 years. He was also bold. It is so easy. And listen, I've been guilty of it. I think many of us have been guilty of this. You hide behind the walls and you surround yourself with people that agree with you. We do it as a society all the time. Increasingly, people are moving into neighborhoods with other people that agree with them politically and isolate themselves from people that do not agree with them. But Charlie Kirk was bold. He actively sought out to engage peacefully, respectfully, those who he disagreed with. As recently as 2 days ago, we learned of one of the hosts on CNN who said that one of the messages he had gotten just a few days before Charlie's passing was from him, inviting him to dialogue. And he did this on campuses, he did this on podcasts, he did this on radio shows, he did this on television shows. Time and again, he sought to engage those he disagreed with because he understood that we were not created to isolate ourselves from one another, but to engage. The irony in all this is that what our nation needs, one of the many things it needs, is the ability to discuss our differences openly, honestly, peacefully, respectfully. And Charlie Kirk did that more than anyone alive in America today is doing. And Charlie Kirk was impactful. Impactful because of all the things I've said, but look around this place. There's 100-something thousand people here. The President of the United States is here. His entire cabinet is here. Television audio outlets and media outlets from all over the world are covering this. I just came from overseas, and every country I stopped, they gave us their condolences for his passing. Impactful in just 31 years of life. He made a difference. He mattered, and he will matter now more than he ever has before. And let me close with this. How do you remember? This is a memorial service. It's to honor him. How do you best remember it? I'll take the liberty of saying what I think we can best do. Look, I think he had a tremendous impact on young Americans in general. I think he had a very special and direct impact on young men in this country. That's one of the greatest developments I've seen. It's been very positive. I think we remember him for that. I think we remember him for constantly saying, you want to live a productive life, get married, start a family, love your country. These are powerful messages. But I hope many who are watching, I imagine there are people watching here tonight that didn't know much about Charlie Kirk until 11 days ago. Maybe they were disengaged from politics. Maybe they were partially engaged. I hope one of the things they take from this is that the movement Charlie Kirk led and started and gave fuel to was about politics, but not only about politics. It was deeper. It was broader. And I would say that, taking the liberty, but I'm confident he would agree, one of the things he wants us to take away from this, from all of this, is the following. His deep belief that we were all created, every single one of us, before the beginning of time, by the hands of the God of the universe, an all-powerful God, who loved us and created us for the purpose of living with him in eternity. But then sin entered the world and separated us from our Creator. And so God took on the form of a man and came down and lived among us. And he suffered like men. And he died like a man. But on the third day he rose unlike any mortal man. And to prove any doubters wrong, he ate with his disciples so they could see, and they touched his wounds. He didn't rise as a ghost or as a spirit, but as flesh. And then he rose to the heaven, but he promised he would return. and he will. And when he returns, because he took on that death, because he carried that cross, we were freed from the sin that separated us from him. And when he returns, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will all be together, and we are going to have a great reunion there again with Charlie and all the people we love. Thank you, and God bless you.